You can meet Issues, Etc. regular guest Dr. Alvin Schmidt Saturday morning, May the 4th at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Dr. Schmidt will be signing his new book, The American Muhammad, from 10 to 11 Saturday morning at Lober Hall on the campus of Concordia Seminary. You'll get 30% off the book price, and Concordia Publishing House will provide free donuts and coffee. A book signing for The American Muhammad from 10 to 11 Saturday morning, May the 4th at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.
The National Day of Prayer is approaching. I have the privilege of serving as the honorary chairman this year.
There's a comment by a Roman Catholic bishop, "I will die in my bed. My successor will die in jail. His successor will be martyred, and his successor will begin to rebuild from the ashes."
A spirit-filled congregation is not measured by the number of goosebumps that are raised in a worship service, but rather a spirit-filled congregation is found in how much Christ is declared to you.
Lutherans who are married to Catholics love Issues, Etc.
The church is one foundation. It's Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Someone recently contacted me, and they had a question. And I know that they wanted a response rather quickly. We live in an age where people want the responses rather quickly. It was an instant message, and I was assuming they probably wanted an instant response. And I said, you know, I'm going to have to give that some thought. And then I realized, and I put it in the message, I'm not really accustomed to giving things much thought nowadays, a lot of thought. So it might take some time. It's true. We don't stop and think. In one sense, we don't stop and think before we speak, but in another sense, we don't stop and think after we hear. Think about what we've heard. Think about what we've read, especially as Christians. Think about what someone has said. The art, the discipline of Christian contemplation, of Christian thinking, where has it gone? Well, it's gone the same place where most all contemplation and thinking has gone. We're going to talk about the need for Christian contemplation on this Friday afternoon, May the 3rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back, and thanks for tuning us in. This is Issues Etc. You can give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at IssuesETC, or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Remember all that, because in a few minutes we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. You'll need that phone number, 1-877-623 to vote, 623-MYIE, or talkback@IssuesETC.org. Our Facebook fan page again, where you can leave a vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in advance, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Shane Rosenthal is producer of the White Horse Inn radio show, and he's author of an article in the latest Modern Reformation magazine titled "Why We Prefer the Practical." Shane, welcome back.
Hey, good to be with you, Todd.
You outlined the problem here, and you'll need to explain it a little bit. You say not only are we constantly being shoved into the shallow waters, but we like it there. What do you mean? What's the problem?
Well, my colleagues and I at Modern Reformation were thinking about this particular issue we were putting together on technology in particular, and we're interacting with the views of people like Nicholas Carr, who wrote a book called The Shallows, What Technology is Doing to Our Brains. It makes us just the kinds of technologies that are out there, Facebook, internet, it makes us skimmers and surfers on the surface rather than deep sea divers. That's one element of the problem. My article in particular tries to go a little bit deeper. So what I do in my piece is I am essentially interacting mostly with the views of Alexis de Tocqueville. He's a French thinker who came to the States in the 1830s and was noticing the differences between the way life is structured here in America versus the way it is in most of Europe, where it was aristocratic. Here in America is more democratic. But he was fascinated at what democracy itself did to the way people think and behave. And so what I was looking at was just his observations about how there's a shallowness in the American character and the American spirit that where people like the practical, the utilitarian, things that are useful, but they don't end up liking meditation and thought, partly, de Tocqueville says, that's rooted in the fact that we are restless, we're always busy, everyone's working, everyone's changing, moving from class to class. There's no time for leisure and thought, and those kinds of things are at a premium. People are more active, and the activist mindset in life tends toward function, not thought and slow reflection.
It's almost, and this is, we'll talk in a few minutes about how it's infected Christians in particular, but it's almost a kind of American morality that if something isn't of practical use to me, if it doesn't have an immediate application, if it doesn't get something done for me, then it, not only is it not worth my contemplation, it's kind of wrong.
Yeah, it's an interesting observation because there is sort of an ethic at play when you are talking about things that are more contemplative, theoretical, abstract, if you will. People tend to lose their patience with you, and there's, well, you know, can we bring it down to brass tacks? Can we make it practical? Can we make it relevant? And by practical and relevant, they mean, you know, what can this do for me now? But no one ever challenges that assumption. First of all, that assumption is challenged in the New Testament. I mean, Paul says regularly, keep your minds on things above, not here on things on earth only. So, well, keeping your minds on things above, where Christ is seated, is an abstract idea. It's a concept that isn't, first and foremost, practical. There may be some practical benefits to contemplating Christ and the Trinity, but they themselves are not a practical consideration. It's a more of an objective consideration about who God is, what he's like, what his characteristics are, what he's done to save us.
What is this attitude, this not just can do, but must do kind of attitude, every idea must do something for us, that is of immediate benefit? What has it done to teaching and preaching the Bible in the church?
Well, first of all, before I answer that question, just an observation that Aristotle himself makes at the very beginning of his book, Metaphysics. He says that the meditative or the wisdom itself is rooted in the greater ideas. It's not in utilitarian concerns, but it's theoretical knowledge. And so when we think in terms of practical knowledge, basically what Aristotle would say is that we're unmooring ourselves from wisdom itself. So what de Tocqueville ends up saying in his books is that as he looks at preaching, again, this is 1830s, this French guy is evaluating, he's going from town to town, state to state, evaluating. He's amazed at the democratic process. He's amazed at a lot. He's a lot of good things to say, but he does notice there's a difference in the way things are done. Americans, he says, don't value tradition, and they don't value other people's words. They like their own opinions. But when it comes to preaching, he says preachers in America are always focusing on the practical benefits of religion, prosperity in this life, rather than the felicity from the next. So it's, in other words, the emphasis in American proclamation is what this religion can do for you now, rather than what God has done for you eternally. And that's a different kind of a message. And that, I think, is definitely still with us. And that is not that has not really been challenged on many fronts.
So has it actually been exacerbated?
Well, I think, especially when you evaluate what you find in the typical local bookstore, a Christian bookstore or the Christian section of a Barnes & Noble, the kind of things that sell tend to be the Christian living. Now, just that title alone, or just radio broadcasts that are popular, Insights for Living or Focus on the Family, there's a very strong now emphasis. What Jesus can do for me now, very practical, very relevant. The Christian living section in most Christian bookstores has sort of overtaken any section of theology. Well, theology itself, like philosophy, is more abstract. It's about someone else, not me. It's about some other time, either redemptive history or eternal time, who God is and what he's like in in a different framework. I mean, that's a different conception of reality that's not really about me at the end of the day.
You also borrow from C.S. Lewis's observations in the Screwtape Letters about how this can become, well, to put it bluntly, a tool of the devil on the Christian man. With about a minute and a half, how would you describe that?
So C.S. Lewis is dealing with, at the opening of his Screwtape Letters, with a guy he's an atheist, and yet he's beginning to think about the implications of his ideas. And according to the elder demon, Screwtape, the thoughts are beginning to go the wrong way. So he does the suggestion made to this man's mind from the demonic perspective in fiction is not to counter the arguments, because he says that would lead to the enemy's territory, God's territory, because truth is truth. He says he appealed to something more concrete. So he focused on the tangible nature of the real world, the hustle and bustle of the street. And then, in other words, he distracted him from his thinking and made him think about the real life, the bus stop in the cars. That, I think, is the problem of modern democratic societies. Real life is so tangible and real and visceral, and there's just motion there, and there's a quiet stillness in thought that's missing. And C.S. Lewis's point is we're being distracted from thought, and that is demonic.
Shane Rosenthal is our guest. We're talking about the need for Christian contemplation. It's Friday afternoon, May the 3rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. When we come back, a few more minutes with Shane. Your questions and comments are welcome. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can send us a question via email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at @IssuesETC.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
A spirit-filled congregation is not measured by the number of goosebumps that are raised in a worship service.
There are a lot of Christians in the NBA, and just because they disagree with that lifestyle, they don't want to be viewed and called bigoted and intolerant.
In the church's evening prayer, she does a similar thing. She picks up and carries to the Lord all the sickness, sorrows, and grief of this world, which would be unbearable in themselves and by themselves alone.
What essential difference is there between those humans that Gosnell killed after birth and those he killed before?
In about 20 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, 4 soundbites that we'll play for you, and you vote. And you pick one of them and your chance to win the LPR bundle package as well in about 20 minutes. We're talking about the need for Christian contemplation. Shane Rosenthal is our guest, producer of the White Horse Inn radio show. One of the hosts of the White Horse Inn, Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, will be speaking next month at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June the 14th and the 15th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. This is our very first Issues Etc. conference. We're doing it to thank our listeners by way of our fifth anniversary returning to the air, and a chance to get everybody together so they can meet some of the guests that they've listened to so often here on Issues Etc. Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, Pastor Will Whedon, Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith, and more. You can register online, issuesetc.org. Right there you will find a link to register for the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June the 14th and the 15th. Or if you need some help, give Craig a call, 618-223-8385. Ask for Craig, 618-223-8385. And you can register for the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Shane, we were talking before about how it sounds to me like just the art of distraction from thought, from contemplation, is one of the ways that the devil can use this, our natural tendency to go for the shallow water. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, basically, that's one of the things we're looking at. This issue is chiefly about distraction, and most of the articles are focusing on technological distraction. There are lots of different ways just think about one thing such as digital readers. In the past, you could put yourself in a room, get a book, and you would be exclusively focusing on the ideas of an author who is basically acting as your mentor. I mean, it's an act of humility, C.S. Lewis said, to open the pages of a book, because you're basically saying, teach me something I don't know. Digital readers, on the other hand, have a lot of other bells and whistles. So you can be checking your email, you can be getting pings from Facebook, and et cetera, so that that's an element that we didn't have to face before. Our books didn't used to beep at us. So that's one element. Number two is that you can also, when you're reading a word, you can have a hyperlink on your blog post, and you're taken away from the article. So there's distraction that way. It's having a thought that progresses. Are you able to contain or to explore that thought? Are you able to think without being distracted? So my piece, on the other hand, isn't really dealing with the technological aspects as much as it is the issue of democracy itself, the structure of our society. I think a lot of us are raised to think about the virtues of democracy as proud Americans, and there are many, many virtues. But there are also some vices to consider, and what are the implications of this kind of society for the life of the mind? And this is something that we need to protect against. The kind of society that we have, I mean, think of the things people tell you, certainly the way they've told me, if I recommend certain books, especially thick books or abstract books, either philosophy or history or theology. I don't know about you, Todd, but I always get, where do you find the time? And that's because there's a perception about busyness that mitigates against the idea of submitting and learning about things that are not necessarily utilitarian and helpful, but also just true, and that's a different idea.
Have we also seen then, either as cause or effect, does it really matter, a drastic reduction in curiosity, wanting to know, wanting to understand?
Curiosity is rooted to this idea of investigation. And so this is something that Neil Postman talks about. Also, Mortimer Adler talks about that we are passive learners, especially in a culture of television. So curiosity, on the other hand, makes you not passive but active. And there's a person who I interact with in my article. Her name is Maggie Jackson, the author of Distracted, The Erosion of Attention and the Coming Dark Age. She wrote that book, I think, in 2009. And one of the things that I think was fascinating about her her pieces, she takes the time to stop and define what attention is. And she says it's rooted in this Latin idea of reaching towards something, ad and tendare. So that's this reaching out. And what I'm wondering is that something we need to investigate and discuss in American Christianity? As I look in churches, I don't think a lot of people are reaching out and trying to grab the sermon, for example. People aren't told, they're not raised with the idea of paying attention and reaching out and thinking about it, grasping the meaning and discussing it when you get home or when you're reading a book. Are you curious about what this particular text from 1 Kings is rooted in? What's the historical context behind it? That curiosity, that reaching out to grab it, not just how is it practical for me today in my life, but what's the historical context? Why is this said the way it's said? What are the implications? Who was Paul writing to in the Corinthian essays? He's writing to Corinthians. What were they like, et cetera?
I know that you will resonate with this, but I think just operating on the general principle that if we don't think for ourselves, we're going to let somebody else do our thinking for us.
Mm-hmm.
How much has, for all the other good that it may have done in the political realm, the civil realm, how much has talk radio, we both do it, but conservative talk radio, how much has it done to essentially say, don't stop thinking, we'll do the thinking for you, and taught us just to parrot the kind of whatever party line is being pushed?
Wow, now you're just meddling. You want me to basically, I've got to come up with a good answer here because I can't undermine White Horse Inn or Issues, et cetera. So where do I go? Well, I have to say something good, right?
Well, I mean, we could start with someone other than that, but the notion that I'm happy, this idea, and we find it among listeners, and then we try and discourage it. You guys do. You have your own way of saying it. So do we. Talk radio for the thinking Christian, saying, don't let us do your thinking for you. We're happy to inform and equip and do all these things, but don't let us do your thinking for you.
Right. There is a particular kind of the way we always say it is we're kindling, we are conversation starters, and that we want to have a discussion on a topic, and because there are a lot of people who learn by way of conversation, but that's why we're always mentioning books to go to, because the conversation becomes a way into the subject for people who just don't know. So, but the book is the further sort of diving into it. But there is a kind of thing that happens, whether it's television, news programs, political, you know, back and forth, where the person who's listening to this particular show or watching this television program ends up sort of rooting for the person who has their conviction. So, and I just want my guy to beat up on the other guy. So it's not really about learning. It's just about sort of this emotional attachment. I want to hear my views expressed and then the other guy clobbered. Where that, I don't think, is it's just rooting for your team. And that's why we say we are, you know, just we're just the introduction to this topic, but there are lots of places on our website. We push people to here's for further reading, which you need to do if you really want to explore.
So we were talking recently with the guest, and we were discussing, of all things, evening prayer, a tradition held by Lutherans in the daily hours of prayer. And there's a section after the reading of Scripture that says silence is observed for the congregation to contemplate what has been read. And I don't know. I mean, I think the uncomfortable silence would start getting uncomfortable at about 30 seconds, but perhaps we should stretch it into at least 4 or 5 minutes. What are your thoughts about the utility, no pun intended, of silently thinking about what we've heard?
Well, as a backdrop to that, something Maggie Jackson talks about in an interview she did with us, the author of Distracted, she says that she was at a university setting where they actually enforced electronic unplugging for 24 hours. And these young college students who are just basically every 5 minutes checking their latest posts, et cetera, they had never experienced that. It was like a 24-hour detox where they were alone and they were quiet, and they were encouraged to think, and to be with other people in real life. But the thing that they came back with, the number one impression they got, was fear of being alone. And so when you talk about quiet contemplation, it's just quiet, and you're there's nothing there but your own inner thoughts. That's something that has become foreign because there's so much noise. And in particular, the younger you get, the more that gets intermingled with fear, because they're just not comfortable with that inner voice and that the quiet meditative thought that is helpful for thinking through difficult ideas, for prayer, for your inner life. And those are encouraged by reading great works, mentors who can help you and be your guides. But that is a missing element of modern Christianity.
We're talking about the need for contemplation. Shane Rosenthal is our guest, producer of The White Horse Inn and author of an article in the latest Modern Reformation magazine titled Why We Prefer the Practical. It's Friday afternoon, May the 3rd. When we come back, why is the onus especially upon Christians to rediscover this contemplative life, the life of the mind, not only for the sake of the faith and the church, but for the sake of the world? We'll be right back. Yes, make it old. Only heart grows cold and old. Make it over.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a recording of an Ascension and Pentecost sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Issues Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Pentecost Sunday, May 19th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Ascension and Pentecost sermons. Now, when you make your gift, please indicate whether you want a downloadable version or a CD of these sermons. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us during the Easter season.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm. So check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
When someone asks you, what do you believe as a Christian, how do you respond? Do you have a confession of faith? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, I Believe. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Mark Hemingway answers the question, why Lutheranism, with why not? Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
South Africa,
China, Germany,
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world?
India, Sweden,
Egypt, France,
Turkey, Japan,
Australia, Canada,
United Kingdom,
Hong Kong,
Austria, Finland,
Malaysia,
Singapore,
Bulgaria,
Korea,
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines,
Mexico,
Spain,
New Zealand,
Kuwait.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Shane Rosenthal is our guest. We're talking about the need for Christian contemplation in just a few minutes. Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Shane, why is it the special responsibility of Christians to regain this ability to think and to contemplate, not only for the sake of the faith and the church, but also for the sake of the world around us?
Well, that's a great question. I think it relates mostly to some of the exhortations we find in our own Bibles. I mean, Paul says, you know, whether you're, as you sing God's hymns, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So just, it's reading, singing, we need to be deep thinkers. We need to be deeply rooted in this gospel message. And this gospel message is the culmination of redemptive history. The Old Testament, the fairly thick section, and the New Testament together with it, 66 some books, there's a lot to master here if we're to understand God in action. And that requires us to be masters at the art of reading and thinking and interpreting words. The good thing is, if we do that, we're able to master just about any other books because, as Mortimer Adler says, one of the great commentators on great books themselves, the Old and New Testaments are the greatest of all the great books. They transform us when we read them. But unfortunately, I think we are not really paying attention. We're not reaching out to grab these words, either when we're reading them on ink and paper or via electronic media, or when we're hearing it preached. It's just that we're passive listeners, and in order to be transformed, in order to understand this book and the major character of this book, who is Christ, and the major action of that Christ in death, burial, and resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, that story, if we are to be grounded in that story, we need to know how to read and think and to make that story our own.
Shane Rosenthal is producer of the White Horse Inn radio show. He's author of an article in the latest Modern Reformation magazine titled Why We Prefer the Practical. You'll find links to the White Horse Inn and Modern Reformation magazine at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Shane, thank you.
Hey, it's always a pleasure.